Happy Friday, 8 o'clock. Jim Davis and the man with 1,000 nicknames.
Or at least 10.
I still like cake. Cake,
I know.
Cake to me is the original.
It's the OG. It's the solid.
And who doesn't love cake? We've had a lot of birthdays lately. We've had a lot of cake here at the radio station.
We're going to have more cake here today for a belated National DJ Day, which was yesterday.
We're getting cake for that?
Well, sort of. So,
okay, explain.
Well, here's
explain to me on this.
So, our beloved colleagues, Nikki on Moose and Nate on K-Star, the three of us were like, hey, it's National DJ. This conversation took place Wednesday. And we said, hey, Thursday, tomorrow, it's National DJ Day. We should do something to celebrate. And so we got the idea of ordering, like, mini little cakes. Well, Thursday rolls around and we're like, all right, we're going to order it here and we're going to pick it up at this time. Then we tried to order and we had to create an account, and then they said they couldn't have it until like 4 o'clock, and then we couldn't call them. There was no one answering the phone. So we said we will scrap this and we'll start fresh on Friday. So hopefully we will have some semblance of National DJ Day.
So I have to ask the question, are you ordering these baked goods from somebody local?
Yes.
And they didn't answer the phone?
It was auto, like, it was a thank you for calling, blah, 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 blah. For help ordering online, press this button, and then you'd press the button, and it would say, go to our website, blah, 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 .com, and fill out the thing. Like, great. That helps a lot.
Oh, at least that's better than we've been going through this remodel project.
Right.
Flooring at our house. We're supposed to have somebody come in and do flooring.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to call them about some things.
Mm-hmm.
Called and called. No answering machine. Not even an old school Radio Shack micro cassette. I'm assuming. No, the phone just rings and rings and rings and rings.
Oh, jeez.
Well, then we find out that these folks can't do the job now.
Oh, my God.
Fortunately, we've got things in the works and we're going to be fine. But it was just like, you've got to be bleeping kidding me. Number one, you don't answer your phone. And then, oh, sorry, just we're going to have to cancel on that. We can't do that.
Okay.
So at least in your ill-fated attempt to get mini cakes for National DJ Day, at least you get an entity, computerized be it, but at least
yeah.
Someone, something answered your phone call.
At least a robot answered the phone.
Instead of letting the phone ring. And then finally, when they call us back, which we didn't leave a message.
No.
Because we couldn't. But Kenda talked to somebody previously when she actually talked to a human being, like a couple days before. They finally got around to calling us back.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, we can't do that, by the way. So
love that.
Thanks.
That's great.
For nothing. I don't know how to feel about this National DJs Day. Number one.
It was literally just like spur of the moment. Oh, we should do something. And then when we tried to do something, it catastrophically failed.
Not on you guys wanting to try to do something, just on the notion of it in general.
Right.
That, number one, I guess when I hear DJ.
You think of like.
Spinning the record, spinning the wax back in the day.
Right.
That's right. Spinning some hot tunes for you. I just. You know, are we in an occupation that merits a national day? I mean, come
probably
on.
Probably not, but you know what? I'm not going to complain that we got
when
one.
When folks that are doctors, nurses, teachers, firefighters, police officers, military, there's so many people that probably deserve that day over us. We sit on our butts and talk for hours on end. Hopefully you find some of it entertaining. Maybe sometimes it infuriates you. I don't know.
We have drawn some strong reactions every now and then.
I'm just not sure how I feel about a national day for us when we're damn lucky to do what we do.
We are.
Because we could actually have a real job. And I've worked a real job before.
It's not fun.
It's not fun. This is fun. This is a blast. Most of the time. There are days it's You know, like anything, it's a little tough.
Couple days where it's kind of a slog, but
challenging. But I guess okay. I'm fine with it. I just think there's so many other people that are worthy of that. Other occupations than us. Those of us that sit on our butts and spout and pontificate and do what we do.
Yeah.
Because we love what we do.
We do.
You know, I'm not to that point. Well, I would pay to do what I do. Let's bump the brakes on that kind of idiot logic. I still have a mortgage to pay. I've still got to put food on the table. I mean, I got to get paid for doing something.
I always go back to the quote, and I know it's probably a little off since it is, after all, from the Joker, but the quote is, if you're good at something, never do it for free. So
that's true.
Which is
I don't know if in the case of myself if that necessarily applies.
I was going to say.
I'm not sure, about the good part of it, but
speaking strictly for myself, I'm not saying I'm necessarily very good. I'm just,
But you've been hired to do a job and you do it extremely well, by the way.
Thank you.
And you need to be compensated. I get that.
Thank
so
you.
Anyway, happy belated National DJ Day. Favorite DJ of all time would be who?
Like radio DJ?
Like radio. Let's go the old school radio DJ, yes.
Oh, boy.
Casey Kasem?
Casey Kasem was
keep
pretty good.
Keep it on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Scoob! I know it's probably a little niche, but Mike O'Mara from DC.
Oh, yeah. Don and Mike.
The old Don and Mike show,
I remember Don and Mike on station that's now somewhat affiliated with us.
Mm.
Back in the day, 620, they were on when it was a talk format.
Yep.
Loved Don and Mike. They were great. I loved it when they would do the thing where they'd put the cell phone in the tube at the bank, and they'd have they would have somebody have the bank teller talk to them, and then they have to send it back and forth. I thought it was actually kind of funny. That was pretty genius. Back in the day, you did stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it was original. It was funny. And now it's shtick and stupid. And nobody would be doing that.
No.
Anyway. Yeah, that's a good one. See, Mike was the one that did the impersonations, correct?
He does all the voices. He
was fantastic. Fantastic. Don Geronimo is kind of the classic DJ guy.
Oh, yeah.
Or Mike O'Meara was definitely the sidekick, but the more talent of the two, let's be honest about that.
Yeah.
I got to go Casey Kasem. I mean, come on, it's Casey Kasem, American's Top 40. If you're my age.
Oh, yeah.
You were locked into that. Oh, it's going to be number one this week. Hope Loverboy is going to be number one this week. I mean, I would get absolutely pumped about, count it down. Oh, we're down to three. Oh, it's...
Right.
The anticipation's killing me. Will Def Leppard stay at number one this week after being number one last week?
Right.
I mean, I loved it back in the day. And he was the voice of Shaggy. He did a lot of animated voices back in the day. And then his wife, Jean, who buried him in like Sweden or Norway off his kid. What a sad, awful ending to the life of Casey Kasem.
Yeah, that was all.
And now his wife,
bizarre.
Jean, was just an absolute piece of garbage.
Ugh.
Oh. Allegedly elder abuse on her part as
Heard
well.
Heard that too. Yeah.
Yeah, not good. Okay, so we move on. Moving on today. Of the quarterbacks that are playing this weekend, from the Jimmy Garoppolos to the Ryan Tannehills to the Tom Brady's and Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers and all the quarterbacks playing in the division around this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, at this moment, you've got to get to a Super Bowl. Get to SoFi. Get to this year's Super Bowl. Which one would you pick to get you there? And you said Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and I wavered a little bit thinking about it as we went through the last hour because, Tom Brady is... I mean, give me Tom Brady in the playoffs pretty much any day of the week.
Right.
But I think, because you were saying, win now, right?
It's winning right now. It's who would you take to get you there?
And you're not necessarily planning for the future.
It. Right, we're planning it right now. This is, the future is now.
The future is now. I think if we were to deviate a little bit, to have the sort of, yes, win now mentality, but also maybe win again next year.
Okay. Okay.
You know, Brady has that win now vibe about him.
Has that feel, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. It's every single year he has that. Whereas, you know, a Joe Burrow, just not enough experience yet. He'll get there, I'm sure. But not enough, not quite enough playoff experience and not enough skins on the wall, so to speak, to, I think, really convey that he's capable. Not say that he isn't capable, it's just I need to see more, right? I need to see more of Joe Burrow.
Sure.
I've seen Patrick Mahomes win a Super Bowl and get to two Super Bowls in the first, what, 4 or 5 years of his
career? And look, outside of, if you say Garoppolo or Tannehill, then I'm going to go, no.
All right, whatever.
Hard no.
Pass.
No way. Anybody else, I go, okay, that I can see your point. RJ is with me on mine. That's Josh Allen.
Oh.
Because been to an AFC championship game. Has playoff experience. His ability, like RJ talked about, his running ability makes him just a son of a gun in the red zone.
Right.
Things break down. Big fella can take matters into his own hands if he needs to. If the coverage is too tight, he can make it happen.
Right.
And he has been able to get on the doorstep of getting to the top of the mountain, which is the Super Bowl. All the rest of those guys are great. But Josh Allen, to me, there's something special about this guy. And Denver fans are going, we're all going to continue to pine and wish we had this guy. We wish Elway would have had the courage to draft him when he was available.
Right.
And so, RJ, we're in, you know, same mindset here.
Locked in.
We're some patico on this. Yeah, I think it's Josh Allen. So who do you think? You've got Mahomes. I've got Josh Allen. They'll score off this weekend. Give us your thoughts on that. 970-242-1340. Robert's got Brady. Definitely Brady. Mahomes had his chance. No less as a defending Super Bowl champion MVP, but couldn't kill the king. Mahomes took his shot and missed. Sorry, cake. Have a grande weekend.
Here's the thing, though. And I mean, yes, okay, he couldn't defeat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, which only Nick Foles and Eli Manning can really truly say that they've done that. But that loss was really not on Mahomes, I don't think.
Yeah. It was a line that was beat up. They lost Schwartz. They had lost two of their linemen, you know, from the NFC or from the AFC Championship game. Ty Bowles had a great defensive strategy. Shaq Barrett had a big game.
Receivers had like bricks for hands.
Yeah, that's not that. I don't view that loss in the Super Bowl on Patrick Mahomes at all.
And he was hurt playing that too.
Had the foot problem.
And he was making these acrobatic throws that you're going, oh my god!
Still gave them a chance in that game.
Yeah.
All right, who do we have in the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line?
It's Howard and Fruita.
Okay, Howard. Howard, how you doing, sir?
Real good, real good. I am with you 100% on Josh Allen. I'll give you three reasons. He can run around you, he can run past you, and I haven't seen him run over anybody, but this guy has got all the tools. He can run right, throw left, he can throw that ball on a string, he can throw it 75, 80 yards, and I'm not sure if he's fearless. But, boy, I'll tell you what, man, that last game against New England, he was just on fire. I mean, he came out right off the get-go and just went right at him.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that you look at we talk about having that it factor. He's got that it factor. He does. He's that kind of guy. Josh Allen's that. He just has that confidence about he can get the job done. And I love that about him. Hey, Howard, anything else?
Nope, that ought to do it.
All right.
Always love listening to you guys. Take care.
Well, thank you. Always great from hearing from you, Howard. Have a great weekend. All right, Howard from Fruita today. All right, let's get a couple more here. Our former colleague, Mr. Mignani. Go Bills, by the way. I'm not going to buy Bills gear. Biedelman was trying to on our the Davis and Biedel podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Find our website, theteam1340.com, because he's a big Josh Allen fan, because Allen's former Wyoming Cowboy.
Right.
Great. I'll never buy another team's gear.
No.
I've done that in the past, where I bought, like, when the Carolina Panthers came onto the scene, I had a Panthers sweatshirt, and I didn't really like the Panthers.
For yourself.
I thought the logo was cool. Now, I might buy stuff for other people, but that's like one of the last times I ever bought non-my favorite team gear. Just because I thought that was a cool logo or whatever.
Right.
I have matured since that time in my life.
Since then.
But I'm pulling for the Bills. Playing the Chiefs. Come on, Broncos fan. Come on. Don't you want our cousins from Orchard Park to win? Come on. Bills are kind of the Broncos cousins. Let's be honest about that.
Yeah. They share old AFL ties. And
yeah. But Paul, diehard Bills fan. We were talking about DJs. Wolfman Jack.
Ooh.
Who was great in American Graffiti.
That's right.
And, yeah. With belated National DJ Day. Let's see, from Guru Gary, Bieniemy interviews today, not feeling that if they have a seriously going to head in that direction. Quinn feels like he's Peyton's front runner right now. Quarterback question is very hard. I normally would say Patrick, but I find myself rooting for Josh Allen. He is doing red hot right now. Plus, I love watching their defense. So, on that note about the Broncos and the coaching search, because there is that perception right now that the Dan Quinn, Cowboys right. DC, former Atlanta Falcons coach, he's the guy. He's the guy they want.
He's the guy.
But if you listen to what Jeff Legwald, who covers the Broncos for ESPN, former Denver Post reporter,
mm-hmm.
That he's not so sure that that is the case. He was asked about it. It was on Altitude Sports Radio, our radio cousins over in the Front Range. And he says Peyton, he believes, he explained why he believes Peyton's conducting these interviews in good faith. This is from Jeff Legwald on Altitude. I do not, just from the folks I've talked to involved with all this, I'd say no, that's not true, that Quinn is the front runner. It's a natural thing to say, though, and I would say that Peyton has known him the longest of any of the candidates. When George Peyton got the job, most anyone I knew in the league said, if he ever has to hire a coach, keep an eye on Dan Quinn. This is not a new item. This has followed George along since he took the Broncos job. My feeling on it, the 10,000-foot view to me is, if you're the Broncos, and I don't have a dog in the hunt, they can hire whoever they want. If you're the Broncos, to me, Dan Quinn is the toughest one to explain to the people who follow the team. It's almost Vic Fangio light. Are you getting a better defensive coach than Vic Fangio? A lot of people in the league would say no. How did his head coaching job go when Kyle Shanahan left? Didn't go very well. It's just things like that, to me, are the toughest to sell to fans. The interview with Nathaniel Hackett went really well, according to all reports.
Right.
That he really impressed George Peyton. And it's right at the moment. It's kind of, at least going into yesterday before they talked to Kevin O'Connell and Brian Callahan, that it was kind of Quinn, Hackett, neck and neck in the coaching search. So we'll see. But, you know, everybody keeps saying, it's because of their relationship and Quinn's got experience. The only, you know, guy that's been a head coach in the league, it's going to be Dan Quinn. I agree with Legwall that is going to be, and you can't base it all on what the fan base wants or thinks.
And
you have to be your own man and make your own decision on what you think is best. But Dan Quinn will be a tough sell, because there are people say, wait a minute, you've been here, another defensive coordinator, offense has been the problem.
Right.
Hackett brings a lot of energy. The Ted Lasso comparisons are out there with Nathaniel Hackett. And that maybe this is the time for a guy like Hackett to come to Denver and let it be an offensive-minded guy that takes over. We'll see. But at least according to Jeff Legwald, who's pretty dialed into that kind of stuff, that it's not a given that it's going to be Dan Quinn as the Broncos' next coach. All right, now let's quickly go through a preview of Sunday's two games. Now, don't forget tomorrow here on the team. We'll have the divisional games starting at 2 o'clock tomorrow, with Cincinnati taking on Tennessee. So on Sunday, coverage starts at 12:30. Rematch of the season showdown between the Rams and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bucs favored by 3 in that game. And the Rams knocked out the Bucs in each of the last two seasons. So in the Week 3 matchup, Tom Brady, 41 of 55, 432 and a touchdown. Matt Stafford, 27 of 38, 343, 4 touchdowns. 10-point victory for the Rams in that one, 34-24. Mm-hmm. So, Tom Brady, trying to get back and defend a Super Bowl championship. Talking about the challenge that he faces in that L.A. Rams defense, Aaron Donald and company, and, oh, some guy that used to play in Denver named Von Miller.
Anytime you know your opponent, I think that always gives you a little bit of understanding of kind of what they do well, you know, things you wish you would have done. But it's a very talented football team. Obviously, one of the great teams in the NFL, really good offense, tremendous defense, really well coached, great specialists. So it's going to be a very, very difficult game for us.
Also, if Ryan Jensen, Tristan Wirfs don't play, might be a really rough day for TB12. And it might be a really good day for Von Miller, who has been outstanding down the stretch here for the Rams. Von Miller talking about facing his old AFC nemesis in Tom Brady.
I mean, it's Tom Brady. He does everything well. Everybody knows, you know, the way he throws the ball and the decisions he makes and how he plays up for big-time games. And but I think the thing that really stands out to me is how he elevates the play of his teammates. It could be anybody out there. He somehow is able to elevate the play to a level that they wouldn't normally play at.
All right, so there's Von Miller. So that's the first game on Sunday. Our coverage starts at 12:30 with Westwood One. That'll be followed by the Buffalo Bills at Kansas City, a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game, a rematch also of their regular season showdown when the Bills beat Kansas City 38-20 in Week 5. That's when Kansas City defensively wasn't playing great.
No.
And they definitely turned things around, and Mahomes wasn't playing very well. And that day, Josh Allen, 315 and three touchdowns. The Bills averaged 21 yards per catch in that game.
Ooh.
And so for the Buffalo Bills, they're hoping to repeat some of that same magic at Arrowhead against Mahomes and the Chiefs on Sunday. Chief safety, the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, on trying to deal with Josh Allen and those big old legs that make it tough to bring that guy down.
Anytime he's using his legs, it seems like it's to his advantage. So, you know, obviously it adds extra pressure on the guys that's covering, but it also adds pressure, you know, on the guys that's rushing them just to stay in their lanes, not let him kind of break containment and get into open field. But I think anytime he, you know, decides to tuck and run the ball, we just have to treat him like a running back, treat him like one of these wide receivers where all 11 guys, you know, have to pursue and get to the ball. I think it's going to be one of those games where we're going to have to tackle him and we're going to have to tackle him well.
All right, so the Chiefs' defense, they face a challenge, Steve Spagnuolo and that group. But likewise for the Bills' defense and Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and an explosive Kansas City offense. And Bills safety Micah Hyde talking about what it's going to take to slow down the Chiefs' powerful offense.
They can literally score on any single play. Like you put on the film from the last couple of years, and you can see that these guys can score on any play. So you have to really just hone in on plastering the receivers and tight ends and backs and try to force every single throw for Mahomes to be a contested throw.
All right, that'll be the second game on Sunday. But once again, our coverage starts tomorrow, 2 o'clock, Cincinnati taking on the Tennessee Titans on the Team Sports Network. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk with River City Sportplex youth hockey coach, coach of the Riverhawks. Jackson Wilson's going to join us in studio, talk about what they're up to, get a little thoughts on the NHL season as well. Avalanche playing red hot right now, getting another good win on the road against the LA Kings last night. We'll talk with him in just a moment. But it's time to play the Pile's favorite game on a Friday, which is Where in the World is Tyler Franzen?
Where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, tell me!
Where the hell is he?
Well, I can't find him.
He cannot hide forever.
I will find you.
Chance to win Fat Tire today. Where in the world is Tyler Franzen? The wisdom of the Oracle told me to check out this arena, and what I found was a building. Nice building. Didn't really make a splash in the heart of fans when it was built, but what can you do? Where in the world is Tyler Franzen?
Oh, come on, Pyle.
This one's easy.
Come on.
This one's easy.
Super easy. First correct answer. Must be 21, and you cannot have won the last 2 weeks, by the way, so keep that in mind. You have to set it out. First correct answer wins a case of Fat Tire from New Belgium Beer and High Country Beverage. Text in right now, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Where in the world is Tyler Franzen today? 970-242-1340. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk with Jackson Wilson from River City Sportplex. That's next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back, A28. Will Blank, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I figured, you know, since this is played at every Avalanche game and we're talking hockey.
Yeah, I like that, yeah.
Might as well.
Yeah, it's sometimes Buckeye, he shortchanges me on outside of his metal wheelhouse, which a lot of that stuff I love too. We share a lot of the same love of that. Though we also, I have to bring this up very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Got a coworker. I won't name names. Made a comment to me yesterday.
Oh no.
Referred to Metallica as trash.
Did not. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was. I like this guy.
So it's a guy.
So I didn't want to throw down. I was thinking about it. It was like, well, okay. Yep. Gloves off. Let's go.
Is it someone we make fun of frequently on this program?
No, not him. Not JJ. I will not say.
Okay.
Super good guy. Now I'm still think he is, but I don't know. I've lost a little faith. Just a little bit of faith, perhaps. All right. Yeah. Can I believe that?
Wow.
Called Metallica trash.
That's
trash. Oof. All right. Jackson Wilson from River City Sportplex shaking his head over here in total disbelief.
Well, I'm just thinking this. In all of our adult hockey leagues down at River City Sportplex, one of our warm-up songs, Enter Sandman.
Of course.
Which is one of the best stadium entrance songs ever.
Have to have it. That's Cirrus, the old Chicago Bulls entrance.
Oh, yeah, the Alan Parsons Project song, yeah.
Oh, have to have it.
Oh, yeah.
It gets the boys fired up down there.
Exactly. So the boys have been getting fired up, playing a lot of hockey. It's so great that you guys are open And let's first talk about the Riverhawks. That's the youth program.
Yep.
And how's that going? Now we're, a couple months in now to the River City Sportplex being open. And how's that going, Jackson?
It's going really well. We opened that second week of October. We've had about 4 months now of a hockey season and, developing young children out here, trying to mold them into some hockey players. It's going really well. So, last weekend we took a couple teams down to Denver, played some front range, start getting some of that development for the kids. And our 14 and under group did well. Our 12 and under group, is growing as well. And so we're excited with those two teams. So I'm really excited with the direction Grand Junction Hockey is headed right now.
How many kids, what ages are we talking about here that are participating with the Riverhawks program?
Yeah, sure. So for people who don't know, you start body contact full checking when you turn 13 years old. So I have a team of 13 and 14-year-olds. I have one team of 11 and 12-year-olds too. And then we have one team of 9 and 10-year-olds. So right now those are our three traveling teams. And then below that, you just have basically kind of the 8 and under. So those little kids who, just love to lay on the ice and basically find that passion for the sport.
Absolutely. Jackson Wilson with River City Sportplex. He heads up the River Hawks youth hockey program. And still space is available, I'm certain, for some kids, right? Tell us about that. Is it too late to get into it? How does that work in terms of your season and what you're doing right now?
Absolutely. So the cool thing now about Grand Junction Hockey is we have a facility that's going to be open year-round. So anytime your kid gets interested, whether it's the Olympics, the playoffs coming up, they'll be able to come into the rink and we'll be able to put them inside of a program, whether it's our Learn to Skate, Learn to Play Hockey, anything like that, we'll be able to get them in as any time of the year. Any mid-season, we'll find ways to get them in and start having them play what I think is the most fun game to play.
Yeah, I love hockey. I wish we would have had the Glacier River City Sportplex previously when I was growing up because we had Westlake.
Oh, sure.
It's right there off the business loop. And if it froze over, am I throwing some skates to go out skate a little bit? I think I had a hockey stick for a while when I was a kid. Loved the old Colorado Rockies hockey team back in the day.
Absolutely.
Don Cherry.
That logo is still probably one of the best logos with the sea in the middle and the mountain.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. I mean, they have still found a way to try to utilize that. So I know there was the article recently in the paper about a high school team.
Sure.
And look, if there's a guy, Paul Kane, District 51 AD, he would move heaven and earth, mountains, if he could, to make it happen. And I know from a budgetary standpoint, it's just not there for them right now. I know Paul is all about more opportunities for kids to be able to be involved. But where can you guys play a role in that going forward? Because as of right now, I mean, there's not the money to fund a District 51 hockey program.
Sure, yeah. So the first step would be, creating a team, having a lot of these older kids stay. So with the ice facility being shut down the past year and a half before October 2021, we were unable to keep some of these older kids who wanted to play higher competitive levels, right? So they would go, play for Glenwood Springs or Gunnison or some of these other small mountain towns and stuff like that. So we are now going to work on trying to build these kids back up, keep them there. We're most likely going to start with a club high school team. So it'd be, an 18 and under
right.
travel team, not a Chassa team. But from there, hopefully be able to stabilize and get a sustainable program running, find a good coach, et cetera, and then kind of lay our plan out to District 51 to see if they'd be willing to, offer that money up or, find a way to fundraise it, however, to be able to get these kids a high school team.
Right. I know with Grand Valley Lacrosse, I mean, they've kind of taken over running the D51 program from a funding standpoint and things like that. And I thought Paul in the article made a really good point. It's getting parents that are going, or people that are going to be involved in the long term, other than, okay, my kid's playing for 4 years and then he's done, and then, okay, I'm not going to make a financial contribution anymore. It's finding people that are businesses that are committed to being involved with the sport of hockey at the high school level and competing in Chassa-sanctioned games. It's finding those people, isn't it?
Agreed. And, the cool thing about me, and I've been out here 5 months, though, but the sense of community with sports specifically out in this area is truly amazing. There's a lot of people that want to give to just see the youth be able to play and have a good time and get away from, some stuff of the world and either get out on the football field, ice rink, baseball field, whatever. Finding people that are going to be in your program, for a longer term, not necessarily short term, I think will definitely be advantageous for us.
Jackson Wilson, Grand Junction Riverhawks youth hockey program coordinator with us this morning on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And we've talked a lot about youth hockey, but the old fat guys.
Oh, yeah.
They want to get on the ice.
Oh, they're awesome.
One of our guys here, one of our sales guys, JJ, is playing in the league. I don't think JJ's ever played before.
Really?
To my knowledge.
I don't think so either.
And so there's that opportunity for guys that have never played that want to get on, put on the skates and get out there and take their turn at, trying to look somewhat like Nathan MacKinnon. Good luck with that.
Oh, JJ's wheeling.
Is he? Really?
Oh, JJ's getting after it, man. He's
really?
Saucing. He's trying to, between the... He's doing great, though. JJ's crushing it, man. It's a hard sport. It's a hard sport to learn, especially as an adult. And the funny thing is, right, adults versus kids, adults, they get it mentally. They sit there, they watch the Avs game, they get the strategy, and then you try to apply it to, on your knives out there on the ice. So it's pretty funny, man, but it's going really well. We have about 188 participants in our adult leagues right now. We have three. We have four teams in our top league, which me and Phil Flink play in. And then we have six in our middle league and four in our beginner league. And in that beginner league, it's people who, they start in our adult hockey 101, learn to play adult class. And then they practice for 6-8 weeks. And then that next season, we move them on into this, the lower league. And they have a great time.
Yeah. So if you've ever had that aspiration, like I loved watching Joe Sakic play back in the day. This is my chance, man. This is my chance. Okay. Maybe not NHL, but at least get on the ice and see how insanely hard it is to play hockey.
It's fun. You can score a goal, right? And that's the best feeling in the world. Like, we had a guy last night, ended up, we beat him, right, Jim? We got to take the win away from him. But he had four goals, and he felt like he was walking on the moon, man.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, there's nothing like, putting one between the pipes. No doubt about that. Jackson Wilson from Grand Junction Riverhawks youth hockey program, River City Sportplex, with us this morning. Just mentioned some Avs greats. The Avalanche playing some outstanding hockey, number one team in the Western Conference right now, top scoring team. But I think what we've seen the last couple of nights with the two really good wins at Anaheim and the LA Kings, which in the past, that would have been, a couple of years ago, not a big deal. Both those franchises struggling. Now they're two of the better teams in the Pacific behind the Vegas Golden Knights. Getting it done with more of a kind of a grinded out style than what the Avalanche normally have been doing throughout the course of the season.
It's cool. You get to see Bednar's longevity as a coach, right? So he implements these different structures, and then he relies on these extremely talented players to go be disciplined on the ice when, as we all know, Cale Makar can skate the puck 200 feet and just put it where he wants it.
Yeah.
So it's fun to be able to see them have a different style of hockey, almost play tight, give up some chances. As we saw last night, he gave up a whole bunch of shots, but Kemper stood tall. They were able to bury their opportunities, and they were being, and they won 4-1 because they can score when they need to execute.
Right, and Pavel Francouz the night before, 34 saves. Getting him back, that's huge because Kemper, there's still some questions. When he's healthy and when he's right, he's really, really good. But that's been the knock on him when the Avalanche went out and got him, is that his ability to stay on the ice has always been a challenge from a health standpoint. And having Francouz now, all of a sudden you've got a 1-2 combination there that you feel pretty good about because that has been part of the Achilles heel for the Avalanche in the past couple of years in the Stanley Cup playoffs has been their goaltending.
Yep, and you have two guys that are just seem like on top of their game right now. You know, and Francouz is a, you know, more wily veteran. I think he's 31 years old or so, and so he's coming in, and I think he still feels like he needs to prove something that he belongs to be in the NHL. And then if you're Bednar, I mean, who do you start starting on these off days?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, if it, you know, he can mix that rotation up as he sees fit. And, you know, it is exciting when you have two goaltenders that are playing well. That's a good problem to have if you're the coach.
Yeah, and it's nice when you have Nathan MacKinnon, Cale McCarr.
Keep Gabriel, going, Jim. Brandon.
Gabriel Landeskog.
Kadri. Kadri has...
Devon Taves is no slouch.
Nope.
I mean, this... It's a loaded team that... That certainly, though, I mean, Toronto is,
oh my gosh,
has
right.
been playing well. Tampa Bay again.
The shock to me of the year has been Nashville, the yeah. Predators. They've been playing extremely well down there. And, I mean, Matt Duchene, I know a lot of people, you know, hate to see it.
Oh, yeah.
The original mid-shift walk-off, basically.
Yeah, had the great game against the Avs the last time they faced the Preds. So, yeah, it's they're loaded, and it's just there gets to be a point where you've got to get to the Western Conference Finals. And you got to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean,
they have the potential. They can do it. And they're hungry. You know, they're very hungry for that. That's why Landeskog took that hometown deal, I think, last summer. And, you know, that's why MacKinnon's been driving them so hard. And, you know, McCarr's bought in. And I think they have the right coach.
MacKinnon said last year, we haven't won bleep.
No.
You know, and its mission has not been accomplished by this very talented roster, as good as they might be. Don't win the President's Trophy, though. Just don't do it. Don't do this, guys. Let somebody else win that thing.
I agree. Get home ice advantage. Sneak in as, you know, a one or a two. Let someone else take that.
Exactly. Presence. Jackson Wilson with us. We have to have Jackson with us every Friday on the program. And so things we've been talking about, the youth program, the adult hockey program, figure skating, any of this stuff. How do they reach out to you guys?
Yeah. So if you RiverCitySportPlex.com is our website.
Yeah. Don't throw that S on there like I did the first time when you guys came.
Right. You won't find us. No. It's really good. So if you go on our website there, we'll be able to provide some information for you for a lot of ice programs we offer. We're actually just getting into curling as well too. So if you know.
Really cool.
Oh man, it's the colder version of shuffleboard.
Yeah.
All right, with all the beer drinking too, you know, so.
And you can feel like you're an Olympian,
there
just
you
like
go.
Playing the hockey,
there
but
you go.
Just chill, you know, playing ice shuffleboard.
The cool thing I did learn is that, you know, if you're feeling uncomfortable with bending down and throwing that stone right there, they have poles that you plug onto that stone, and you can stand up and walk it and use that pole to push the stone down the ice too.
Yeah.
So if that's any of you out there that you're like, I don't want to bend down or slide on the ice, well, We got a fix for that. So
exactly.
But no, our website, RiverCitySportPlex.com. We're located at 2515 Riverside Parkway. That's right there on Highway 6 and off 25 Road. So, you know, you walk in, say hi, you know, or find us on our website with some of our programs and stuff too.
All right. I one final question. Anybody in like the men's league that are like the Jonesy and Riley of Letterkenny?
Oh,
got a couple of guys like that, maybe.
You know, I don't want to. I don't want to name them because they're good. There are. Yeah.
Do they exist? Okay.
Oh yeah.
Is
absolutely.
There a Shorzy?
Oh, yes.
A guy that
just
rags on everybody. All
I do
the
have
time.
A Shorzy.
Okay.
Absolutely.
On everybody all
he's
the time.
He's got like you know he's on him and he's got that high pitched voice too.
Okay,
you know,
great.
You know, oh yeah, I told you so.
I told you so. Love me some Letterkenny, man. All right. Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex. Make sure you get over there and check it out. What they're doing is just fantastic. So great to have hockey and figure skating and just take the family out for a skate is just a blast as well. Jackson, appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And former Maverick pitcher Joe White will be going into the Colorado Baseball Dugout Club Hall of Fame tomorrow. Will join us next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The Team.
Welcome back. Jim along with Cake. You had to play this song with Ronnie Spector dying, right? To make me feel beclemmed.
Sure.
Was last Eddie Money a couple of years ago. Now Ronnie Spector. Thanks, man.
Sorry.
And make me get all teary-eyed before we talk with Joe White, former Mav pitcher. Joe, good morning. How are you doing? My co-host is making me all emotional here with Ronnie Spector dying. I loved Eddie Money back in the day, and now I got to talk to you, and I'm getting all emotional, man. I don't know what to do myself.
It brings back a lot of good memories, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think with you, the memory I have, because we went to Mesa together, and our mutual friend, Lou Romano, longtime
Sweet Lou,
back in the day, and his love of Michael Anthony and Van Halen. I mean, everybody else loved Eddie. Oh, yeah. They loved Diamond Dave, but no, he, because of his Italian heritage, Michael Anthony was his boy back in the day.
Oh yeah, and I'm actually driving through his neighborhood where he grew up right now.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that kind of crazy?
That is kind of crazy.
I just passed Sweet Lou. elementary school just a minute ago.
Oh,
he called me yesterday. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's doing well.
Good. I mean, you know, we did a lot of games together, worked at the College Station back in the day, and got to watch you pitch a lot, and I had some great outings for Byron Weehy. We had Coach on last Friday. He's going into the Hall of Fame with you tomorrow over at the Denver Marriott Tech Center into the Colorado Baseball Dugout Club Hall of Fame. How does that? I mean, that's got to be something really special. You go in with your coach. You go in with Byron Weehy. That's pretty special, Joe.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, coaches. You know, in my opinion, should have been in there quite a while ago. But to be able to go in with him tomorrow is going to be a lot of fun and get to see Coach. We go way, way, way back. He used to actually coach with my dad here in Littleton, and so I've known Coach for, you know, basically my whole life, and it's going to be fun. My dad, I'm hoping my dad's going to be able to come. He's kind of battling some COVID right now, but that's kind of the main thing for me, is to get to be in there with a bunch of guys that I coached with and played with and so forth, and that's what means the most to me.
Yeah, of course, your dad, Willie, in the Dugout Club Hall of Fame, tremendous prep baseball coach over in the Front Range. And, you know, your career, sixth in career wins in Mesa history at 21, third in career strikeouts. You were there from 85 to 88. And just, you know, take us back what that was like playing for Byron, who spanned the transition. His first year was the year that the Mavericks became a four-year institution, four-year program right after the JUCO years. And then also was there at the very start of the Division II era, got the Mavericks to the NCAA divisional postseason in his final year. So for you, that, I mean, I remember those were some great years of Maverick baseball. And when Joe White would take the bump, good things usually happen for the Maverick baseball team.
Yeah, you know, Jim, what I remember about those years, you know, we played an unbelievable schedule. We played basically a Division I schedule back in the day. We played BYU and Wyoming when they had a really good team, and CSU when they had a good team, and you know, we beat all those teams. It was so much fun, and the teammates that I had, Ray McLennan, who's been a longtime coach over there, he's like a brother to me. We came in as freshmen, and we were the only two freshmen that came in and played 4 years together. You know, that made it through the 4 years, and so that's some special memories. And other coaches, you know, Jamie Hamilton and Mark Martinez and Coach Ed Garcia were just instrumental in my life, not just in baseball, as well as Chief. You know, Chief had his way of doing things, and we were very successful at doing it, and taught me a lot about how to do things. And, you know, so I just take all of my time at Mesa as special. I love Grand Junction. I love that school and what they've done with that school and what Chris Hanks has done with that program. I'm very, very, very proud of that.
Joe White, former Maverick pitcher, he'll go in tomorrow along with former Mavs skipper Byron Wiehe into the Colorado Baseball Dugout Club Hall of Fame over in Denver at the Denver Marriott Tech Center. So after your playing days at Mesa, you got drafted by the Reds and the Seattle Mariners. You were in the Mariners minor league system for a while. And then you had the shoulder injury, Joe, that ended your aspirations as a Major League Baseball player. But that also opened the door, though, to do what your dad did, which was go on to be an extremely successful high school baseball coach.
Yeah, it's been an unbelievable journey. You know, like the pro baseball was unbelievable. My only regret with that is I never got to pitch healthy. In pro ball, I had pitched so much. I actually, the biggest thing I'm most proud of it personally with my stuff at Mesa was, I don't think I never missed a start in 4 years being there, and that's the thing that is most proud for me. But I think it was also the thing that kind of screwed my shoulder up a little bit. You know, there's some times I maybe should have taken a weekend off, but I didn't. But you know. Going into coaching was just so gratifying, and having a piece of some person's life to help them get better and strengthen their life was something I always cherished and never took for granted, and have been able to coach with a lot of great people and coach some unbelievable kids, and it's just it's been a great journey.
Joe White, former Maverick pitcher, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. I do want to mention this in the time we have remaining, Joe, that you were able to win a couple of state titles in baseball, but you also had a lot of success on the football field. You're the defensive coordinator at Thunder Ridge, and you were involved in their state championship seasons as well. So it wasn't just what you did coaching baseball. You also had a lot of very successful football teams that you helped to coach the state titles on the gridiron as well.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I hate saying this, but I almost enjoyed coaching football a little bit more than baseball, just because I could actually, as the assistant, you know, I had total control over our defense, but I didn't have to worry about all the other stuff that head coaches do. And I could coach kids and do that, and I loved that. We won 3 state championships in football and beat a great Grand Junction team 1 year. That was a lot of fun. And you know, I played football, basketball, and baseball growing up all the way through high school. So football was kind of in my blood as well. And, I you know, one thing, if I could say this, if anybody's listened to this, I totally encourage kids to play more than one sport. That's one of the things that we emphasize at Thunder Ridge, was that our coaches were going to help kids play more than one sport. We weren't going to have them just play, you know, baseball or just play football or whatever. We wanted them to be athletes and get the experience out of all of it. So, you know, I hope the listeners listen to that piece of it. You don't have to specialize.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Chris Hanks at Mesa feels the same way about that. That's why he really likes to recruit multi-sport guys. So I think that's extremely important. I remember that Grand Junction team, Isaiah Quigley and Chris Means.
They were loaded.
Chase Starr. And you guys were great that day. I got the chance to call that game over at now in Power Field and Mile High back when the Tigers squared off against Thunder Ridge. Hey, Joe, appreciate the time as always. And congratulations, well-deserved, for you and Byron Wiehe. Congratulations on going to the Colorado Baseball Dugout Club Hall of Fame tomorrow over in Denver. Appreciate the time today as always, and always great catching up with you.
Yeah, Jim, you're awesome. I love your show. I actually listen to it over here all the time. It's a great thing of being able to stream things now and stuff, and it brings me back. And you guys do a great job with your show over there, and just keep doing great things, and it's going to be a great day tomorrow seeing Coach.
All right. Take care. Joe, thanks for the kind words. Take care and enjoy the day tomorrow. Well deserved.
Thanks, Jim. Have a good day, buddy.
You too. Take care. All right. Joe White, former Maverick pitcher, one of the all-time outstanding pitchers in then Mesa College baseball history. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with hour three. If you had to pick a quarterback playing this weekend, who would you take to get you to the Super Bowl? Let us know.